Hi, guys. I'm Kelly Leger, Amber Buteau here, and our special guest, all the way from right here in Houston, Texas, Dan Rubottom, longtime friend. Glad
Legend.
That you're here with
Legend
us
here.
Today.
So glad to be here.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah. I know.
It's an exciting day. Finally get the podcast going.
Dan is one of our own right here in Houston, Texas, but is I'm sure known all over the world for his cinematography, editorial, effects, you name it, directing. Dan has done a lot of everything, and not just like jack of all trades, like done a lot of things, specialized very well. We're talking veteran who we have with us.
You're very kind, sir.
So, and we've known each other forever, so this one's going to be probably a pretty chill session today.
But
And anyhow, I we could jump right into it. You want to start? You want me to?
For sure.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, again, you can't say too many nice things about Dan.
That's
Dan's
true.
been
all
so great.
Nice
I know,
guy.
Let's make him blush. Yay.
I'm good at that.
Yeah. No, Dan, I'm super glad that you're on today. You're in creating this podcast. You've always been one of the guys that we always had in mind that we couldn't wait to interview. Just from your wealth of knowledge, what you've done in the industry and what you've accomplished, and then just how great you are as a teacher. I've watched you on set here multiple times, teach younger generations and help in the industry. And, you know, that's a lot of what this podcast is about, is, you know, adding value to everybody that's watching that really has a passion for this industry. So why don't we start where your passion started? When did you know you wanted to be in this industry?
I think probably the time I was about 9 months old. I was in one of those stroller things you push around in the living room, and I kind of pushed myself over to the old Pioneer stereo, and I turned the volume all the way up, all the knobs all the way right, and then I turned the power on. It was on some AM station, and it went, you know, blew it out and shocked me into this industry, I guess.
That's what did it.
But that was my kind of my first love. Like, I always loved knobs and stuff on, like, you know, old stereos, and then sound equipment is where I gravitated to first. But then I was shooting Super 8 movies with my friends, doing Star Wars movies, which is such a common theme with many people that have gotten started in this industry. But I just loved anything with a light or a camera or a microphone attached. And I was also a musician, so I just kind of liked creative type of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Actually, I remember the first time that I think I walked into your home office at the time, and I remember seeing a lot of the things you're actually referring to. You had that big old school radio and all your old film cameras and all of those things from a long time. I actually have modeled a lot of my offices since then.
Oh, wow.
After that office, because I just thought it was so, like, it spoke
that?
To you, and it was inspiring. Yeah. And it was just cool. You
know, yeah.
So. Wow.
Yeah. So you got in with sound, and that's not, I mean, you do sound now, but you do so many things in the industry, but how did that come about? You start in sound and then you kind of move from there.
Yeah, it's a great question, because I think about it kind of looking back and like how I've kind of learned in layers over time. Mm-hmm. Like, like I was drawn to sound, and because I was in choir, I was in jazz band, and so I was the guy that recorded them. And I worked in a recording studio when I was in high school. And but then I was like, oh, that camera looks really good over there. So I'd like, you know, I just so. Yeah. But, you know, fast forwarding to today, that sound background helps me every day.
Sure.
I'm not pro freelancer sound guy. That's all I do. But like, it helps me in my editing. I know how to kind of do a mix and set up, a streaming setup for live production, and also just kind of know enough to ask the right questions. Like, if it's something that's really big, let's bring in, you know, somebody that's like, that's their specialty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, that's.
And so from sound, you looked at the camera and you're like, wait, this is part of the story this is why I love so much about you, is because you're intrigued by the whole industry as a whole. And honestly, I feel like in the position that you sit in, you kind of need to know just enough to be dangerous with all aspects of the production levels that you do.
Yes.
So if there is a problem, or you have enough knowledge to reach in and say, hey, have you guys thought of this?
Exactly.
You know,
you start to learn enough to know, to ask the right questions, and to know what's possible. Mm-hmm. You know, with equipment, And
yeah, that's huge.
Yeah, it really is. So, I mean, I used to edit my pastor's sermon in my bedroom when I was like 13 on a reel to reel with a razor blade.
Oh, wow.
Like, and I thought that was the first thought I had of like the power of editing.
Yeah.
I was like, I could rearrange his entire sermon. Now, it would have taken forever.
Yeah, yeah.
There was no undo button back
there. Right, right, right.
But all those little experiences just kept, you know, that God would open up doors for me to kind of learn something about this. And then I'd, you know, go work for like my first internship at the university I went to. I worked on the lighting team, and it was like on this huge studio with these giant 10K lights. And so I was like, I mean, like this was like Christmas and, you know, every day just getting up to play with all this stuff. I was just like, this is like, this isn't getting better. So then I, you know, learned, then moved from there onto camera operation. And then I'm like, oh, okay, now I kind of, you know, I'm framing up the camera on the talent, and there's sweat, just literally just, I can feel it, just cold sweat going down my back. When that red light came on, I was like, I'm live across the nation.
Live.
Yeah. I could really screw this up right now.
Right.
I did a couple times.
Was that just like a general curiosity and excitement to just want to try everything? Or like, what?
I think so. I just always liked technical things, but where they met the creative, you know, it wasn't just technical for that sake, but I liked it enough to like, okay, now let's see what I can do with it. And so I would just like, when I started editing and then shooting promos for that, that studio there, I would, experiment with like, glass filters and see what they did in front of the cameras. And I would like when I was shooting like ENG style, we called it, or film style. And I would put, I remember my first 3D graphic, there was an old 3D, somebody actually cut out of styrofoam, like out of styrofoam. And it had, it was something for Oral Roberts. And it said like, expect a miracle. And it was this huge thing I saw on the back of the studio somewhere. I'm like, I bet I could use that. And so what I did is I put it on a cart. It was literally like, I don't know, 4 feet wide, 3 feet tall. I put it on a cart and put the camera on a tripod and rolled the cart, spun it around like a 3D object towards the camera in a dark studio.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Kind of like, I don't know how they would have done stuff before, you know, 3D, you know, CGI and stuff. But I was just thinking, well, I know this is kind of probably look dumb, but I'll just do it in like as a layer, as just like a texture combined with other elements.
Yeah.
And speaking of layers, I always thought because I learned music, you know, I could look at a score and kind of, you know, saw where my part was. Here's the violins over here. Here I'm playing trumpet. But I always saw things in layers that same way. Like I could see audio, video, graphics, lighting, all those things as layers. So they are all just tools in this final product that kind of made it all come together.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's true.
Wow. That's great.
Wow.
Yeah, to be able to break down, and you know, that's one of the things that I've watched you do on set multiple times here, is be able to break it down into those layers so you're not trying to eat the whole thing at once, right? Let's just work here. Okay. Because in production, that's how it works. You know, we were joking the other day, we're rerunning some stuff around here at the studio, running wires and all kinds of stuff. And we were like, oh yeah, that one has to have its own channel. And that one has to have its own, because when you get to editing, we need to separate those. Cause if one goes wrong, we have the other one to work off. You know, all of that matters, because someone said to me, oh, well, can't you just run one thing? And I was like, yeah, you clearly haven't been on a production set.
Right.
There's so many wires around here. You can see in the wide shots and all the stuff that it takes. So if one of those layers isn't right, the whole thing is not, it can't be used.
Right.
Right. You know what I mean? You have to figure out. So it's really great that you're able to see in those
layers. I mean, Dan has one of those minds, like, so I have found my place as a director. It's my home where I love to be more than anything.
You're a very good one at that.
Well, yes, you are.
Well, I know the language producing. I produce as well. I know the language of editor. I edit as well. I know the language of composer, but I don't go as deep as like as Dan knowing how to do a lot of those things really, really, really well. But I know the language enough. But one thing, and I tell people all the time, my best friend on a production set is always a cinematographer. And Dan and I have shot together for a lot of years. Yeah. They're the perfect blend of the right and the left brain. They have to have all the science and logistics of knowing how to lighting works and color temperature and how it affects the iris on the camera and how that interacts and color space and all of these things. But there's also that creative side to them that has to know about composition and has to know about, they're like this perfect blend of everything. And a producer, various types of producers have that as well. Mm-hmm. But that's something that's always intrigued me about your breed because it is a very special type of person. You know,
Well, and it's in a lot of times people say production is really problem solving. Mm. So to your point about looking at the wires, whether or not, or, you know, in terms of a problem solving could be not just technical, but also story.
Yep.
You know, starting at the script, what's the problem with the script?
Mm-hmm.
Work. So, but as a somebody that can kind of experience the different aspects of production, you can understand, like as a cinematographer, what you're going through as a director and the things you're looking through, or if to flip the roles, or if I kind of know what's going to cause a problem for the audio guy if I put the camera right here. I mean, all those types of things, and it's really does come to problem solving and just breaking it down to, okay, what's, well, let's just step back here and if it's a 60 cycle hum in your microphone, you can just say, and you've got three different cables. Well, let's just go down to one cable. Does it do it there?
Right.
You know, so it's that kind of thing, process of elimination.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always try to teach, if I have like students on set or whatever, and just try to help them think that way if they don't already. But it's just, don't stress. It'll be okay. This will pass. You know, worst things have happened. You know, I've seen people hanging from a grid and 30 foot in the air when the lift fell, you know, and they lived.
They survived. Well,
you know. Don't do this at home though.
Yeah. Don't try that at home. Or here at the studio, please.
Right.
Yeah. Well. I think it's, more than people realize in what it takes to make, you know, these productions that you see that we make look so simple. And it takes minds like yours that's typically behind the scenes, you know, to make everybody else look good. We were teasing before we got on, before we hit, you know, action, right? Cut the cameras on, you know, Dan's like, okay, I'm going to hear everything people say, like, make me look good, you know, because he's always the one making all of us look good and make things look good, you know, is his job from so many different angles that you're looking through.
And that kind of reminds me of something that I think is good to remember, is that it usually isn't about you, whatever your role is on the set. Mm-hmm. You know, try to think about, well, first of all, you know, what does the client need? You know, a lot of times, people may come on a set and think, oh, I've got this grand vision and all this. And it's like, does it really fit the client? Does it really fit this person's style? Or so I always try to like reflect them in the craft that I'm part of at that moment.
Yeah,
so whoever that person is, how do I reflect back kind of stylistically, technically, what are the things that support them
that's great. And I hate to say it, but that's unique. There's a lot of guys who get stuck into, well, here's how I operate and here's how I do it and here's how they get into that thing, and that's that's not going to make a real long career, buddy.
To say I haven't had my moments and many where I'm like, this is so great, can't you see the vision? But you have hard lessons too, and you learn, and you're like, those are okay, just maybe that's for another time.
And I
do try to, like, every project, and speaking of layers, I try to like learn something new and that kind of keeps me interested.
Yeah.
So like if I'm just doing like,
you do that a lot. You're right.
I used to do a lot of openings for churches, and they were always supposed to be really dramatic and they kind of tell a story. And I always would try to try out a new either technique, filmmaking wise, whether it was adding you know, an art director for that set or a costume designer, or I tried a new plugin in After Effects, or I tried the Phantom camera, you know, and so I could, those things propelled me forward.
Yeah.
Kind of got me out of bed in the morning. I'm like, how do you, like, trying to keep things interesting.
Yeah. Try to hang out of a helicopter. That was fun.
We got some history.
Yeah, I was going to say, these guys have worked together a long time, So
the producer's like, there's a helicopter. He'll be here in 5 minutes. We're like, a helicopter?
The helicopter.
We didn't really prepare for this, but hey, let's go. And then it turns out the helicopter pilot was...
Yeah, it was, what's his name?
Gary Chapman's brother.
It was, Amy Grant's ex-husband's brothers.
He looked just like him. So anyway, that was fun.
That was fun. Yeah.
Yeah, and didn't y'all like hang on the side of a building one time shooting up the building on a commercial?
Yeah, we did that.
Yeah, we did.
Last year.
Yeah. We had a guy, we didn't have to hang that time. Somebody was hanging off the side of a building.
Yeah.
We were shooting with
him. I called you at some point and you're like, I'm with Dan over here. We're dangling a man off the side of a building for shooting a commercial. I was like, oh, great.
Yeah,
great. I'm going to let you go now.
First.
Yeah. Well, Dan, what would you say probably, if you were looking back at your younger self, what do you think sitting here today would have helped you back then? Mm. Like, what would you have wanted to tell yourself back then?
Yeah, I mean, I think probably back to what I mentioned about not being about me.
Yeah.
And I guess that's not really part of my normal personality to think that way, but a lot of times you get like all excited about a certain thing and I just like go full forward into that and then like setting yourself up to be really disappointed.
Right.
Why is this guy not getting this vision? This is amazing. Does he not watch movies? So, I mean, that would be one thing.
Yeah, because I think, you know, all of us starting out, okay, so you have the practical advice that you learn through your education and a lot of people in film school or just learning yourself. But I always say the edge that you can get is to sit with experts in the industry that have been doing it and have learned the hard knocks, so to speak, of the industry and can share that down to, you know, those that are coming up in the industry. And, you know, let's be honest, part of this is to give back because this next generation of movie makers, advertisers, people that are all in the media content, there's just so much of it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But really the fundamentals and some of the core problems still exist.
Sure.
You know, and how we approach it, how we do it, the way that we tell the stories.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a bunch of there's never been more tools to do things.
It's amazing.
But the craft and and how you take all that is fundamentally the same.
Like, it is. Mm-hmm. And I would say the craft has been elevated overall because of all the proliferation of so many people filming. And it's like a normal thing to have a camera that can look like a movie.
Totally.
If you just do a few things right.
Yeah.
So the barrier is a lot less than what it used to be. But I think, you know, a lot of times, you know, it can be easy to kind of look back on the old times, how the old things were better. And I don't think so.
Right.
I mean, I love like, you know, classic movies and I study them, but I love how much the technology has pulled us forward and kind of caused us to think of new ways of doing things that, it's really exciting. So,
I think we're in a super good time with films. You know, I think now with our phones being so readily accessible for so much content, okay, good and bad, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we've seen that. A part of the reason, you know, I feel like the three of us for sure in the industry is to move the needle on the good that we can help influence on content that is being shown constantly, you know, and your expertise in being able to do that helps this industry here in Houston, you know, pour into everybody that comes through the studio. You're frequently here all the time. We appreciate you so much here at the studio. And just because of those layers, you're just a wealth of knowledge that we can pull from on productions around here that helps us be excellent, you know, and for that we appreciate. But I think that is a key to your success as well. You know, I think a lot of people are looking for shortcuts in life mm-hmm. and looking for shortcuts in the industry because we have so many tools. But knowing is key.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hands yeah. on how yeah. you've had that desire to want to learn.
Yeah, and I think it's really encouraging to see. Even at the Christmas party here, I met some younger guys that were. Sounds like they're kind of been doing this for a couple of years and learning. They're shooting their own documentary, and so I enjoy talking to people that are excited about doing stuff. I do see some people don't really know what they don't know, and that's not really their fault or anything. It's just, you know, just maybe. A lot of shortcuts have been presented to them via YouTube or whatever. Yeah. Like, here's a really cool way of achieving this look, this technique. And that's great. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Now just store that away as one arrow in your quiver.
Yeah.
Okay. Now come over here and maybe learn more about just the craft of composition mm-hmm. of a shot mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. or learn about exposure mm-hmm. or, you know, just three act structure. Well, not just three act structure in script writing, but in lighting, you can apply it to basically everything. Like everything's like a story. Like, mm-hmm. and so there's a beginning, middle, and end. Like one mm-hmm. of the things that I see a lot of times is there's, let's say a multicam production, which is really gotten so much better, so much cooler, so much more cinematic.
Yeah.
Like live concerts and stuff. Mm-hmm. But some of the camera work I'll see that has no direction. In other words, like they'll just move it for the point. They think, well, I just have to just keep moving it. Well, yeah, but you could actually have a beginning, middle, and end of your shot and totally. Still have the same kind of feel that you're trying to evoke,
right.
but with more of a purpose and not look so like
purpose.
You know, like maybe not have, yeah.
Like have an end in mind, like
have
when you begin to shoot.
Right.
You know? Yeah. You're doing multiple things, like any cameraman would know. Oftentimes you're doing a lot of things at the same time.
Right.
You know, you could be pulling focus, you could be zooming, you could be moving up and down, all at the same time.
Yes.
You could also do that in the shot composition. I'm going to start here, I'm going to end here. By the time I get here, this is what I'm going to, and you're right. It's like, I never really, probably didn't think about it.
And kind of like, it's like, say if you're shooting music, like work with the, like if you're framing a drummer and you're shooting him, kind of work with his like his flow, like mm-hmm. try to be where he's going to mm-hmm. be at a certain point, like you know, on the downbeat maybe he's going to hit the cymbal, you know, kind of make sure you're kind of there ready
some
for
predictability
it. Yeah. And it doesn't mean that you have to like make it static shots, or although there's a place for that, but like if you're going for the kind of the more organic look, there's still rules. Like know the rules to, and then
exactly.
know where to bend them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's rules only in the sense of like what good storytelling is.
Right.
And that's my point, I guess.
That's good.
Like it doesn't stop just at the paper mm-hmm. part of things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I watched the Steven Spielberg documentary the other day.
Yes. And I watched that too after you told
Did
me
you?
About it. Yeah. It was amazing.
So great. Yeah. So, so great. And, you know, talking about there are rules, right? But he led the way in breaking a lot of those rules by doing the very thing that you're kind of talking about, kind of making there a purpose with what he was shooting and the story in mind and all of it, mm-hmm. you know, and he created new ways to shoot that hasn't, the way he moved the camera, the way he did things was just not typical. So I think that is part of creativity. It's always growing. It's always changing.
Sure.
And every person that holds a camera, every person that writes a script, has their way of bringing creativity to a story,
mm-hmm.
which
we
makes it
need
great.
Each person's voice.
Yes.
Every person is important. You know, God made them for a reason mm-hmm. in this earth to bring you can learn from the people that went before you, build on that, and then add what your special, your unique
mm-hmm.
vision or voice is to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So so like even Spielberg, he learned from all the greats, the Kurosawas and all the, you know, the John Fords and all these, but then he's like clearly his own guy,
mm-hmm.
but he built on those mm-hmm. things.
Yeah. Learning that structure, learning those rules, and then taking that little bit of creative risk. that is makes it you.
Yes.
Right? I mean, you hear all the, yeah, that you're all the time, there's that it factor, right? Mm-hmm. You've got to throw a little bit of the it factor to trust yourself, be confident in yourself to say, you know, what if we did a little bit this way? And this industry lends for the ability to do that often, you know, because there's always another take.
Yeah, I think a lot of that has always, like for me, that's helped me in that area is like just to kind of go with my gut on something more. Like you kind of, you learn what you do at that point. Like I'm still learning. Like right now I'm constantly learning. There's so much I don't know but at whatever point you're at, okay, do what you know to do, like prepare and all that, but then like just do something like a little bit crazy maybe. And you know, that might make some people on set a little bit uncomfortable in the sense of, no, that's not how we usually do it. You know, I had an engineer one time, he was saying, your levels are too low. It's not here. He pointed on the scope and said, that's too low. And I was like, yeah, but it looks like what I see on TV when I pull on commercials, you know, like I understood what he was saying and I tried to learn that, but also like apply what I saw, like the great commercials. And Top Gun came out at that time. So when I was in college, and so I was like, the opening sequence where everything was against sunset, I'm like, that's amazing. You know, I was like, who does that?
Right.
You know, no one was really.
Right.
You know, it wasn't common, at least that I had seen.
Right.
You know, it was a kind of one of those watershed moments for me. But
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I mean, and you know, like we said, you know, Dan's done it all. I mean, he made a movie recently, a feature film down in Argentina. And I'm here as well, but I think most of your principal photography was in Argentina. Yeah. What's next? Like, what do you want to be?
That was an amazing experience. And I also want to kind of keep building on that and keep going towards the feature film side of things. That kind of excites me more than anything, but it is a lot of work, as I think anybody knows. That's, you know, that project took about 3 years, counting pre-production all the way to the point it was in theaters. And I learned so much as the DP and editor, and then a second unit director. But I have a couple other scripts and projects in development, as they say, you know, various stages of development.
I was going to say several projects in various stages of development.
I also am kind of working on some different products that I'll try to help editors, like with different effects that they, you know, digital glitches and film grains and that kind of stuff. And also courses, I've been wanting to do it for years where I can kind of pour back into other people that want to learn whatever I've learned over the years. I'm trying to make it, put it in an organized fashion and work on that in the next, have that launch sometime this year, hopefully.
So. Very cool.
Yeah, that's super excited for that. You know, I know we've talked a lot about the college, you know, crowd and the younger generations coming up and being able to give practical advice for that. And some of the kids that we have interning here, we love our interns. We've talked about Dan's, you know, program that he's developing right now and going to launch, and more on that on another episode. I'm sure we'll be displaying that, but they have just been like, oh my gosh, where can I get that? Where can I watch it now? You know, they're hungry for this industry. It's hard to find practical advice from people that have been on a bunch of sets that have done, because there's such a small, you know, small community of us. And that's the heart of kind of this podcast, is to, lift the veil, give access to people like the Dans and the guests that we'll have on here, their stories, how they got into it, what drove them, what makes them successful, why they do what they want to do, where are they heading, to learn and glean from some of that. And also some of the technical advice. Some of the episodes will be really technical. You know, when he starts the program, when you launch that, having one of those on where you can learn some of those real hands-on technical things from here as well. So
And I was just kind of thinking back a little bit to what you asked me before about to the younger self, and kind of relating to the college students or people that are trying to learn right now, is that don't discount the things you don't think are important to learn. you know, like the things that are not fun to do or whatever. You know, it's even if it's just flipping burgers somewhere, you know, it's a proverbial thing to say, but it's true. It's really a people business. And so if you can learn how to just work with people.
I'm telling you.
It's so hard. I mean, it's because, you know, if the world would be a lot easier if there weren't people.
Oh my God.
But no, I love people. And but it's I tended to be more of like a shy person growing up. And I would just kind of so coming out of my shell was that being in the industry actually helped me kind of come out of my shell in that way. But, you know, like looking back, it's so easy to like to see how those really terrible jobs I had, like picking beans off of a vibrating conveyor belt that was like for 6 hours in a row. Look for the ones that have a little bit of red spot on them. I'm like, what? They're all blurry. Like, okay. You know, picking
you're
strawberries.
A bean counter.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, but even in production though, there's so many things you're like, okay, you may get to be a PA on a set and you're like, oh, this is just, I'm just getting people's coffee or I'm just wrapping this cable. Yeah, but you're on a set and you get to see what these other guys are doing. You got to work hard and make yourself, you know, not just be a fly on the wall, but be a fly on the wall while you're doing the things that you're doing because all of it is valuable.
Yes.
100%. And even if nothing else, for when you're a producer one day, you can appreciate what that PA is going through at that moment or whatever that position is. That's
absolutely.
You've been there before.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it's going to, it teaches you things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's all important. I think it's just, it's so much more than craft, than the craft of cinematography or of mixing or lighting or whatever. It's just, it's really about being a whole person that you can bring to the stage and knowing like, what is the world like? What is the, how can you make it a better place to live? And how, you know,
I mean, and it's going to take you, let me just tell you from experience, from being a director and being a producer, it takes you so far. You want to work with nice people.
You want to
work with, you want to work with hard workers. Yeah.
You
want to, it's not rocket science. You know, you do your job, you let people do their job. If you have a role on the set, you do that 110%. Don't try to color outside the lines to be seen.
Right.
You know, don't step on director's toes. Don't do anything. Just do what you do and do it really well.
And they'll notice.
And they will notice and you will get 100%. Hired again and again.
100%.
And like, if you look at any of the duos, if you look at the Ron Howard, Brian Grazers, if you look at the Kathleen Kennedy and Steven Spielbergs, if you look at, they're all the Tim Burton's and Danny Elfman's composer, director, all of them have their people they go to over and over and over because they're reliable. They like working with them. They work hard. They find it. Like me and Dan work over and over and over together because we just work well together. Mm-hmm. If you'll do that, you'll have that work ethic. You'll just dive in. It's going to take you so far because I know it sounds crazy for it to be that simple, but in this world today, there's just not a lot of people who get that. That you work hard and you just stay the course and it's going to take you a long way.
You know, it's funny when I first got into this industry, I heard a lot when they would say, well, let's just see if we like working together. And I was thinking, wait a minute.
Nope.
Can you do a job is what I'm going to ask.
Right.
Can you do the job? And if you can do the job, you've got the job.
Right.
Until.
You spent 10 hours a day for a month with them.
Until you are hours and hours and hours sardined in one little place. And not only that, what that interprets to me is, can you see the same vision I see in this production? Do we have symmetry together that we can, we're creating something none of us have seen before. We're painting this picture together. So it's like, put a big canvas up here, put a whole bunch of paints down here, and then go try to pick 10 friends you want to paint this picture with. At that point, you're going to say, I don't need somebody that just can paint trees. You're like, okay, I need you to paint trees, but I need you to stay out of the way of the person painting the clouds. And this is the person who's painting the rainbow. And this person. And you all have to communicate together and like each other and work together, or we're never getting the picture painted.
That's right.
You know, and so
right.
it took me a while to learn because I came from the business world, you know, and in business, it's black and white. if you can do the job, you got the job. You can't do the job, you're fired from the job. Yeah. You know, it was, that was easy for me to understand and do. And when I got into this, I was like, I don't know if I like you or not. And I'm not really trying to be your friend. I'm just trying to get this done, you know?
Yep.
And I really understand that now in the industry and have a real respect for everybody that works in the industry and why you say, let's see if we work well together, that we are able to paint well together. Mm-hmm. And when you find that, it is magic and you produce great content, you know?
That's right.
Sure. And that's what the examples that you gave, that's what they've done. They've mastered that.
And so many times at the end of a long production, or even a short production, you know, guys, you never even knew some of them by the end of it. Man, if it all was all working like it was supposed to, you feel like you went to the trenches with somebody. Yeah. You just went war with somebody and you're like your friends, like you're good friends, like to see stuff work, especially if it's a long production. But I bet your Argentinian guys, like you had to have become family out there.
Oh, yeah. It was amazing. Yeah. It very much is like, you know, a small unit, a military unit going into battle, and you come out the other side somewhat unscathed, and sometimes more, sometimes not. But I mean, yeah, you start to, it's all those little problems that you solve that become the little victories that you're like, you all get excited about. Like, like their actor's performance was just so great. And like, you kind of were a part of that to make them, you know, the guy putting in the apple box for the actress can stand right there or whatever. It's every bit of its importance. So I love that collaborative part.
Yes.
Like when I'm on set, like especially like doing a film or a short film or something, I don't know, I get just such energy. Like I don't even get like going into it, the prep is harder actually a lot of time, which is so important. That's another podcast, but
that's for sure.
But yeah, I just like have this whole level of energy that like I don't even
you don't
really
realize 10 hours went by and they're saying, hey, we've got to shut it down because you can only work so many hours, right? You can only be on the clock when you're in SAG and union and all that, but nonetheless you're like, what, we've hit, what, we're there, we're what time is it? You know, because you are just on, you know, there's just, I think it's because there's so many things going at one time, so many things you have
it's
to
exhilarating.
Watch. It is,
you know, it's
it's when like, you have a passion for it,
right?
And if especially not, you're if a bit overwhelmed,
especially when you're on great projects working with great people.
Yeah,
if it, a lot, and you know, when it's your own project, it's really exciting, you know, and I always try to make sure the process is fun for everybody else. Like if it's my thing, like I want them to feel ownership of it and be like, you know what, you did amazing on that boom, just holding that boom that long.
You
know, it's like,
it's true,
you know, like little things that a lot of times get overlooked, but yeah, no, it's a lot of fun when all the cylinders are firing.
I'm like sitting here thinking about all the different podcasts we need to have you back for. We need to have you back for writing. We need to have you back for editing, for After Effects, for cinematography, for producing, for directing, for how do you operate a camera? How do you
post-production, like, pre-production?
Oh my gosh.
After 30 some years, you start to learn a few things. And if I don't, I should hang it up by now. But there's, like I said, there's so much I don't know still. I'm still learning. I really just kind of learned what I needed to learn. Like I didn't ever feel like I really knew what I was doing. Like I just kind of knew enough to do this. And I was confident in that. And I can do this. And okay, I kind of know what I'm doing with that.
Yeah.
But that's such a great case for anybody out there just to go and get started. You're never going to learn it all. You're never going to. Spielberg is still learning stuff.
That's what makes it fun.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
You just have to, you have to hop out. We have no excuses. We have all the tools. There's great resources, you know. Just start. Just
go make your film.
Just make that film.
Yeah. With business sense, please.
Yeah. And the producer comes in.
I'm like, wait.
Director's like, dream. Producer, do it right. Plan. Make a plan.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
True.
But, you know, Dan, we've really cherished all that you've done around here for us at For the One Studio and have enjoyed working with you. And while we've been so excited to have you on the podcast, at one of our first launches of this, you know, is you always were in mind, because of how much we go to the people in the industry, the ones we really enjoy working with, and also are just uber qualified in it. And so thanks for sitting down and taking us on a little ride back to Little Dan, right? To the beginning.
That's right.
To now. You know, yeah. I think the great lessons that you've left us with was learning in layers is a great concept to focus on. Mm-hmm. And like you said, any industry, but especially in this industry, it really builds to success and you never stop learning.
Right.
You never stop creating the layers.
That's true. It.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for having me on. It's a thrill for me and an honor. So
yeah, awesome. Absolutely. Thanks. Until the next Set Life, we'll be seeing y'all.